life is filled with challenges. That's just the way it is. We cannot know victory unless we have faced the challenge of defeat. You won't appreciate joy until you have endured heartache. And you will not understand compassion until you have need of compassion from someone else. So how we face the challenges of life will determine whether we are overcome or whether we are victorious. This morning we begin a new study together. We're going to go to the Old Testament in the book of Joshua. Joshua is the sixth book of the Old Testament, and it records the entry of the Jews into the Promised Land, the land that they still occupy to some extent. Now we're going to look at this book because it is the story of how the children of Israel faced the task of having to take the land that God had promised them. The book of Joshua follows directly after the book of Deuteronomy. The books of Exodus through Deuteronomy record the time when Moses led the Israelites through the desert. And Exodus records how God led the people out of slavery in Egypt and the giving of law. Leviticus explained God's regulations for worship and God's standards for holiness. And the book of Numbers tells us how God originally led Moses and the children of Israel to the land that he had promised to them. They sent 12 spies into the land to bring back a report. And one of those spies was Joshua. And the spies returned from their mission bringing good news, and they brought bad news. They said the land was indeed fruitful and rich. That was the good news. But the bad news was that big and strong warriors, they called giants, occupied the land. Now, 10 of the spies came to the conclusion that they could never defeat these people. And so their report started the people grumbling against Moses. But the other two men, Joshua and Caleb, they agreed with this report. But their conclusion was vastly different. They said, "We should go take the land because God is on our side." However, the people, as most often is the case, sided with the majority. And it was as a result of this decision that the children of Israel were made to wander for 40 years in the wilderness. They wandered until every one of the adults living during the time of the spies had died. Everyone, that is, except for Joshua and Caleb. So the book of Deuteronomy records the final words of Moses. Now 40 years had passed, and a new generation of the Hebrews was ready to enter into the Promised Land. Moses reminded them of the law of God. The name Deuteronomy means second law. So Moses, by the direction of God, anointed Joshua as the new leader. So as the book of Joshua begins, Moses had just recently died, and the grieving period, the mourning period, had ended. So in this first chapter, Joshua is commissioned to replace Moses. And this book records the entry into the Promised Land and the beginning of this new nation. Let us turn to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Verse 3. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. Verse 5. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Now Joshua had been Moses' aide for 40 years. In many ways, he was more than trained for this assignment that he was given by God. On the other hand, you can imagine that this new responsibility may have been very, very overwhelming for him. Because, you see, Moses was known as a friend of God, the most humble man on earth. Now, how could anyone fill such huge sandals? This was a very overwhelming assignment for Joshua. But God told Joshua the rough boundaries of this new land that God was going to give Israel. And some people have estimated it to be about 300,000 square miles. It was a land that was filled with people who would not give up that land without a fight. Remember, this was a land that was fruitful and it was plentiful and it was a land of milk and honey. So this was a very big job. These people weren't going to give up very easily. And Joshua had incredible confidence in the promise and the power of God. But in reality, he may have felt somewhat small and inadequate. Many of us face overwhelming challenges like this in our life. Maybe you face a death in the family. Maybe you're given the responsibility of raising your grandchildren or your nieces or nephews or someone else's children. Perhaps you have to change the direction of your business because it is not doing well. Maybe you have been promoted on your job and you feel like you are way in over your head. And I think a lot of us feel that no matter what we try to do to get ahead, it seems like we only get further behind. If this is the kind of situations we face, then we may very well understand the apprehension of Joshua. The challenge is great, but we're just not quite sure if we are up to the challenge. Let's read verse 6. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Verse 9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. You see, God, of course, he understood the hesitancy of Joshua. When someone is filled with worry, it usually doesn't help to say, you just need to stop worrying and relax. When a person is afraid, it usually doesn't help to say, don't be afraid. When people tell us to be strong when we feel weak, sometimes we just want to scream at the person, don't you think I would be strong if I could be? It's tempting to hear these words from God to Joshua in the same way. But there's a huge difference. Three times God says, be strong and courageous. And each time God gives the command to Joshua, he also gives him a reason why he should be strong, why he should have great courage. He said, you will lead the people to inherit the land I promised them. Be strong because I'm going to do something great through you. He says, I am the one who has commanded you. Be strong because I know what I am doing. I will be with you through this whole war, this whole battle. Be strong because I've got your back. See, God is not asking Joshua to just merely suck it up and be tough. He's telling him that he can have courage because God has already guaranteed victory. God had given the land, already given the land to the people. It's just theirs for the taking. God didn't tell Joshua that it was going to be easy. He told him that he would succeed by the strength of the Lord. God has already given us, prepared for us, his heavenly kingdom. Our Canaan land, our promised land. It is ours for the taking. But he's never told us it will be easy. It's going to be hard. It's going to be tough to make it from A to Z. From the starting line to the finish line. But we are already victorious. God has told us that we will win the race. But it's not going to be easy. So please understand that God tells us the exact same thing. In the book of Hebrews, the same promise of God's presence is applied to the believers. Let's turn to Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13, verse 5. Hebrews 13, verse 5. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you, nor forsake you. And we know that John reminded us that greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Jesus tells us that in the world we will have tribulation. But we can have courage because he who lives in us has already overcome the world. You see, the Bible is filled with promises just like this. Words of God to us, spoken to us just like he spoke to Joshua. Be strong, be of good courage. For I am with you, I will never leave you, never forsake you. So when we face the challenges of life, God wants us to know that he has not left us to handle the situation by ourselves, because he is with us. We do not have to rely on our own strength, because God has given us his strength through the indwelling of his Spirit. We can face almost anything in life if we can only remember that we are children of God. The strong arms of God hold us up. The wisdom of God leads us forward. The unfailing promise of God makes victory certain for us. Let's go back to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. Verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Verse 9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Think about these words for a minute. Joshua is facing a very serious series of tremendous battles. Yet God doesn't talk to him about tactics or battle strategy. He doesn't say, make sure you bring 30,000 men to the left flank and 30,000 men to the right flank and 50,000 men to go forward. He doesn't talk about the strategy. He doesn't give him a plan of attack. What does God talk to him about? He talks to him about his heart. God wants Joshua and us to know that the key to overcoming the obstacles of our lives is spiritual, not managerial. Whatever barrier we face, whatever challenge we come across, our strength for overcoming that barrier, that challenge, is the Lord. We can plan, we can strategize, we can do all kinds of things, try to get ourselves out of that situation, to take it on head on ourselves. But in reality, it is God who will be with us and help us to overcome. The battle is spiritual. The battle is within our heart. If we want the strength from the Lord, we have to turn our heart over to God. So how do we tap into His strength? Listen to what God tells Joshua. He says, be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. In other words, follow the instruction of the Word of God. Trust your Bible. The Lord told Joshua to not let the book of the law depart from his mouth. He's not saying, don't talk about the law. He is saying, don't ever stop pointing people to the truth of God's Word. God told Joshua to meditate, which means to think about, to ponder, to reflect on the law of God, the Word of God, day and night. He told him that the best way to prepare for the unknown obstacles ahead was to be filled with the Word of God. Turn to Psalm chapter 1. Scroll of Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Verse 3. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. This seems so simple. Yet, how often we ignore this advice. We would rather attend seminars, buy books, go to counseling, get more education, hire consultants, even try all kinds of crazy schemes before we are willing to churn and submit to the wisdom of the Lord God and His Word. We should churn to the Word of God first. Lean not unto our own understanding, but instead we should turn to the Word of God. If we simply do what God says, we could be spared many of the difficulties we face in life. We could receive many answers to the problems that we have. This society, I've said it many, many times. We are living in the end times, brothers and sisters. This is the end times. If you are ever in question or in doubt about that, simply turn on the news, open your newspapers, spend an hour in the mall listening and watching the people, listening to their conversations, watching them, what is their behavior, the way they are dressed. You don't have to spend to really look very far if you can see the decadence, the downward spiral of this country. 3 years ago, Hurricane Katrina hit New Orleans. Not long after, Hurricane Rita. Last week, Gustav. Now we are facing, we just had Hannah going up the East Coast. Now we are facing major concerns over Hurricane Ike. Devastation after devastation. It doesn't mean that Jesus is coming tomorrow, although he could. But we can see the signs all around us. How do we handle these kind of situations? What do? We look at the two choices that we have for president and we think, is this the best our country has to offer? What do? We turn to God's Word. We meditate on it day and night. We fill ourselves with the Word of God. If we obey God's commands about sexual morality, if we follow His counsel regarding telling the truth, if we forgive people and let justice to the Lord rather than trying to bring about justice ourselves, if we trust God to provide for us rather than to trust our own credit cards, if we took time to rest and to worship rather than continually pushing our bodies, think about how many heartaches would be avoided if we did those things. The Lord told Joshua not to depart from the law to the right or to the left. Do we understand this? Joshua was told that he is not to pick and choose from God's word those things that he likes to do and disregard those other things. He is told to do exactly what it says. When we obey the scriptures selectively, when we pick and choose what we like from God's word, we are setting ourselves up as the authority that determines what is valuable and what is not, what is moral and what is immoral, what is right and what is wrong. And when we do that, are we not playing God? Suppose someone says to you, you know, I really want to have children. I think it would be just great to have children. It'd be fun to play with them and buy toys for them and all that stuff. I don't want to have to feed them. I don't want to have to change them. I don't want to have to discipline them. I don't want to have to spend any money or take care of them, but I sure want to be a parent. You would probably start praying that this person never becomes a parent because they don't have a clue. Parenting is not something that comes to us a la carte. We don't pick and choose what we like. And we don't, you know, if we don't like this, it's not like being at a buffet. It's a package deal. The bad comes with the good. And it's the same thing with the Word of God. We must obey all of it. So practically, this means that we cannot receive the blessings without also accepting the responsibility of obedience. We cannot receive God's riches without also accepting the command to sacrifice and the promise of suffering. We cannot enjoy God's loving nature without also accepting the fact that God is a holy God and a just God. We cannot receive God's forgiveness and we ourselves not willing to forgive. We cannot expect to receive God's love if we are not willing to extend love to those around you. We cannot embrace His promise of heaven if we are not willing to embrace Jesus as our Savior and the ruler in our life. We cannot expect His blessing if we are not willing to take a step in faith. Let's look at Joshua chapter 1, verse 10 through 15. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourselves. For within 3 days you will cross over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord God, your God, is giving you to possess. Verse 12, and to the Reubenites and Gadites and half the tribe of Manasseh, Joshua spoke, saying, 13, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God is giving you rest and is giving you this land. 14, your wives, your little ones, and your livestock shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side of the Jordan, But you shall pass before your brethren armed, all your mighty men of valor, and help them. 15. Until the Lord has given your brethren rest, as he gave you, and they also have taken possession of the land which the Lord your God is giving them, then you shall return to the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side of the Jordan toward sunrise. Joshua responds to and was ready to move forward in the strength that God would provide. Joshua told the people to prepare. He told the tribes that they were going to stay on the east side of the Jordan to get ready to help their brothers secure their land. And then the people respond. Verse 16. So they answered Joshua, saying, "All that you command us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go." 17. "Just as we heeded Moses in all things, so we will heed you. Only the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses." 18. "Whoever rebels against your command and does not heed your words and all that you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage." The people say, "We're with you, Joshua." As you read further into Joshua, you'll see that the people did go into battle, and they were courageous. God did fight for them in very remarkable ways. But note something else. God had to prepare to give them about 300,000 square miles of land. But history shows us that the people claimed only about 30,000 square miles. That's only 10% of the blessing God had planned for them. 10% of the blessing God had promised them. That's all they took. These people started out strong, but lacked the endurance and the perseverance to obtain all that God had for them. This is a warning for us. We have all been people who started out fervently in our faith for the Lord, fervently working for the Lord, fervently wanting to preach the gospel to others, to bring our friends and our loved ones and our relatives, fervently coming to church, fervently wanting to learn the Word of God. But along the way, we become impatient, bored, maybe even lack perseverance. If we want to overcome the obstacles of life, we must dig in and be ready to follow faithfully for the rest of our lives. Not just at the beginning, but through the middle and through the end. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Verses 13 and 14. "Brethren, I do not count myself to have those things which are behind. I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. 14. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." So how do we begin? We must become true children of God. You see, the promise is not for everyone. It is only for those who will entrust themselves to him. It is only for those who will obey God. Secondly, we must become people of the Word of God. We must not only read our Bibles for information, but we read it for instruction. We read it for encouragement. We read it for the wisdom of God. We have to put God's truth into practice. We must read the scriptures, being quick to ask, how does this apply to my life? Not how does it apply to someone else's life. Too many times we are guilty of when we listen to the sermon, or when we were in a Bible study, or even when we read the Word of God. Too many times we are not thinking, how can I apply this to my life? Too many times we are thinking, oh, so-and-so should read this. I need to share this with so-and-so. He needs to be corrected. We're always looking to correct someone else. Oh, this sermon would be good for so-and-so. This Bible study was really meant for this person or that person. Or this passage that I'm reading today. Oh, I wish so-and-so would read this. What about us? It must apply to our life first. Have we taken it and applied it to our life? Thirdly, we must determine that we will do what God requires, even though we may not want to do so. And as we do this more and more, we will discover the wisdom of His ways, and obedience will become easier. Fourthly, we need to trust God's promise rather than our feelings. Too many times we get our faith and our emotions, our feelings mixed up. We need to learn, as I've said before, to separate our faith from our emotions. Trust God's promise instead of our feelings. When we feel all alone, we must remember that He has promised that He will never leave us or forsake us. When the situations seem insurmountable, we need to remember not to write the ending of the story until the story is ended. When we don't know which way to go, we need to consider that God might be telling us to stand still. Stand still until the timing is right. This past weekend, Labor Day weekend, as traditional for many, many years, it was the Jerry Lewis MDA telethon. And I noticed something that I really hadn't paid too much attention to before, but there is a tradition that Jerry Lewis does at the end of every program, every telethon. He sits on a stool and he sings to those kids and adults who are afflicted with muscular dystrophy. You know, all these children and these adults, they know that this disease that they have and the prognosis for the cure for their disease is not good. And he sings a song that actually was my high school graduation theme, as many of them, I think high schools use the same thing. So when you walk through a storm, hold your head up high and don't be afraid of the dark. At the end of the storm is a golden sky and the sweet silver song of a lark. Walk on through the wind, walk on through the rain. Even though your dreams be tossed and blown, walk on with hope in your heart, for you never walk alone. It's a moving song because, first of all, I know that Mr. Jerry Lewis really means it, what he sings, but I find that the song is also moving because it is the same kind of thing that God said to Joshua and He says to us today. Whatever obstacle we face, now or in the future, remember His words. Be strong, be courageous. Hold to the truth and remember that you never walk alone. Whatever we face today, whatever may come tomorrow, whether it be the wind and the rain of Hurricane Ike, or whatever other storm comes down the road, whether it be financial hardship, whether it be health issues, facing death in the family, problems with children, whatever it may be, we are never alone. We must be strong and of good courage, because God is with us wherever we go.